This morning, I again come to you and share a message of an open heaven. We've been talking about that. Of course, all of this, as I've already shared many times, has flown out of an experience we had in Israel of open heavens and a particular location, a place in the earth that many identify as an open heaven. We've shared about this was the particular place where the Israelis crossed over into their promises and how they had to walk in obedience to the Lord. And it's important for us to understand the first step to an open heaven is obedience to God. You cannot have a heaven open up over your life unless you have an obedience to His purposes and an obedience to His words. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. And so we can't separate ourselves as believers from the very scriptures that He has given us to guide us and direct us. How many know that without a manual or a particular guide in order to how to live one's life or how to go about achieving a particular a project or process in your life, you need parameters, you need guidelines, you need goals. And so in His Word, He has given us all of these things, and it's important for us to be obedient. So we've shared about that last week with the second service. Of course, 2 weeks ago we shared it with you. But I think obedience, separate from the next step, is really a recipe for a religion. And I think that's what people get in the habit of, is being religious and not relational. How many know that it's important for us to have a relationship with God? In fact, a relationship allows the obedience to really begin to move and act in the way it's supposed to. When you know someone loves you and when you have passion or love for that person, you are willing to go and act and be certain things in order to achieve that purpose or passion in your life. And today I want to talk about the prophet Elijah when he goes up and how he left behind a legacy of Elisha. And how Elisha, you know, was called and Elisha was purposed, but Elisha had something that truly is revealed in the story, and that's passion. And I want to talk about, just for a few moments, a passion for purpose. A passion for purpose. And we've got a little bit of a feedback up here, Kevin, so if you maybe can, it's something coming from a mute, probably from one of these guitars or something that's turned on. So if you can maybe just mute everything but me, that may help. I'm not sure. But I'm one of those guys, I get something in my ear and it's kind of hard for me to concentrate. Anybody like that at all? And I don't know where it's coming from. Y'all hear it? It's a humming loud. Praise Jesus. There, praise God for Kevin. Amen. He found that place. Anyway, I want to talk about a passion for purpose. How many have a passion for your purpose? Really sense that passion coming out Sunday before Thanksgiving. But I think it's important. In fact, I think it's probably one thing that we really need to have stoked within us. You know, anybody ever heard about stoking those fires, those flames? Paul told Timothy to stir up the gifts of God that was given to him on the laying on of hands. And so it's important to know in following God and in following Christ and doing what He's called us to do, you have to have passion for it. It has to be real. It has to be strong in your life. And, you know, when I think about passion, I think about love. When I think about love, I think about a connection between two people where there was passion that existed. I found a story about a young engineer named Billy who was engaged to his beautiful fiance, and he was planning to marry her, but in order to do that, they decided that they needed to accumulate a certain amount of resources. And so he takes a job as an intern with a company, but part of the job required him to travel to Ireland to sort of study and learn about the new electronics plant. And it was a 2-year assignment that he had to be given in order for this to happen, and it would enable him to put away enough money to finally be able to marry his long-time girlfriend, Irene. So they both agreed that this would be best for them. And so she had a job near a home in Tennessee, and so their plan was to pull all their resources and put in a down payment on a house when he returned. And they corresponded back and forth. He would come home on occasion, but as the weeks would go by, there would be a loneliness that would set in with Irene as well as Billy. And so through their correspondence, they begin to share about their loneliness. And this alarmed Irene because Billy was far away in another land, and she didn't know anything about that land. And so She began to express some concern to Billy, saying, Billy, I'm really concerned. You tell me you're lonely. You're not having wandering eyes, are you? I want you to make sure that you don't do that. And so he corresponds back, oh, Irene, I love you much. I must admit, though, there are very beautiful Irish women here. And though I am tempted, I am not given in to that temptation. This alarmed her even more. So the next letter that came wasn't just a letter, it was a box. And inside the box was an harmonica. And Irene writes in her letter to Billy, Billy, I know that you tell me that you love me and that you're remaining devout to me. I felt like maybe a way for you to sort of not be distracted is I want you to take this harmonica and I want you to learn how to play this harmonica. And that way, maybe you could keep yourself focused in the areas that you need to be focused upon. And of course, he corresponds and he says, Irene, I love you so much. Thank you for the harmonica. I'm learning now. In fact, I have a beautiful song that I'm learning that I want to play for you one day. And so time went on and on. And so finally, the 2 years was over. And Billy returns to Irene and they meet in the airport and he embraces her and he says, oh, Irene, I missed you. I loved you. And she pushes him away and says, wait a minute, Billy, wait a minute. Do you really love me? He says, Irene, I missed you. I've been devoted to you. I've been waiting for this day. She goes, okay, Billy, there's one thing I want you to do for me, and then we can maybe have some embracing and some sharing of affection. I want you to play me the song that you learned on that harmonica before we kiss one time. And so we see here that this is a joke that no one really gets, and it's a little bit embarrassing. Obviously, she was wanting to see how passionate that Billy was that he learned a song on the harmonica. If he didn't know a song, if he didn't know how to play the harmonica, he lied in his letter. And everybody say, ha, 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 ha. Really, that's out for the second service. I'm not even going to try that one on the second service. I thought it was a good way of illustrating the point of how passion has a way of showing itself. If you're passionate about something, people are going to know. People are going to see. There is going to be evidence in your life. It won't just be words you speak. It'll be everything about your life. You know, I can always tell when someone is really in love with someone else. Everything about their life changes. What was once, everything was this way. All of a sudden it turns, it changes because the focus turns to that person or that individual. I can always truly tell, honestly, I can truly tell when someone has a real experience with Jesus Christ. There's just something that changes about them. There's just something that's just, it's hard to explain, but you just see, it's not a glow necessarily, although it can look like that sometimes. You just tell that they get it. I'd say it's when the light bulb goes off. And really, you see that there's a connection with God. And I've seen that here. I've seen it in Linda's life. Linda Bruce is one that comes to mind. When she got it, she got it. You know, when she got saved, she really got saved. I remember that about my brother Hollis several years ago, who never went to church, and all of a sudden he went to church, and all of a sudden everything about his life changed. And what was once important no longer was the most important, and his focus was on his faith. And can I tell you, if we're going to really make an difference and an impact in the world, and if God's going to open a heaven over our lives, there needs to be a passion for Him. There needs to be a pursuit of that purpose that He has given each one of us. And we see this in Elisha's life as he's watching Elijah, and he's seen the activity of Elijah, and he's seen the work of Elijah, and he begins to long that God would do something in his life similar to that, that God would move upon him like he moved upon this mentor of his. And I want you to hear the scripture again. I shared it several weeks ago, but out of 2 Kings right now, in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And this is when Elisha has been called, and I'm going to go back and visit how his calling took place and how you really see that he's serious. But right here we see how passionate he was for his purpose. And it said, it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now, if you'll go back and read this particular second chapter, there's a time when Elijah is taken up by a whirlwind. But three times, three times he compels him to stay behind. Three times he looks at Elisha and Elijah says, I'm going further, you stay here. And he says, no, I'm going with you. And there's actually prophets that are along with this. They're not just traveling by themselves, but there's a group of prophets that are following. And they discourage him, but yet he keeps on pursuing what he knows is his purpose. And then finally, when they get to that place, Elijah looks at Elisha and says, what do you want? What do you want from me? Why do you keep following me around? What is it about me that draws you to me? And what can I do for you? And we know that Elisha says, I want a double portion of what God has done in your life. And Elijah and looks at him and says, you've asked a hard thing. But we know through the process of this story that God does take Elijah up. And all of a sudden his mantle falls. And someone's there to pick up the mantle. Can I tell you, that's a message in and of itself. There are men, there are women that have fought the legacy of faith for years, and they're getting close to their time of departure, and they're waiting for someone to take a mantle up. And too often times, it's sad, but no one's there to take up the mantle. No one's there to pick it up and begin to continue the ministry that they were so devout in. And can I tell you, God's calling each one of us with a purpose. God's got a plan. God wants to see the same passion burn within us that burned in the prophets of old, that burned in the New Testament church. He wants to see that happen in our life. But it's not an accident, folks. It's not something that just drops on your head. There must be a pursuit of that passion. There must be a willingness to pursue it with all diligence. And that's what we see in this story. And so we understand all of the ramifications that takes place, but I want to visit a few things this morning just for a few moments and talk about, how did Elisha get to this place? How can you get to this place? You know, sometimes I have people coming up to me and saying, Pastor, I want to know what the Lord's will is for my life. And too many times they think it's just God's just going to sort of just drop in and completely interrupt what you're doing, and sometimes it may happen that way, but there has to be a heart, there has to be a desire for God to work. Yes, we need to continue to do the things, the everyday things that we need to do to provide for our families. Yes, we need to be diligent and to be workers, but there's also something that needs to happen in each one of us, and that is we need to make a priority of the Lord in our lives. I see so many people wandering and doing and going through the motions, and yet they're not seeing an active just working of God in their life. And I want you to know, you can find your purpose tonight, today. You can find your purpose. Listen to the story. In 1 Kings, we go back prior to the 2 Kings encounter. We're talking about 1 Kings 19. Now, we know in this particular scripture that Elijah has, he had ran away from God after doing a great miracle on Mount Carmel. And he was running away from Jezebel and Ahab. And he thought he was over. And he asked God to just kill him and get it over with. And God sort of, spiritually whipped him a little bit and reminded him that he was not alone, and that there was others that were, that were working for the kingdom. And can I tell you this morning, there's a story right there. You may think that it's all over for the Christians in America, and you may be, boarding up the house and getting all the foods in the pantries ready for the time when we're just, can I tell you, God's not finished yet. God's still got a work going on. Just like he told Elijah up on Mount Carmel, there are 700 that not bowed their knees to Baal, and there's a prophet Elisha is just waiting for somebody to pour into him. And can I tell you, if you want to get something to cure your ailment of depression and feeling like fear is going to take over, find somebody willing to follow the Lord and pour into them and ask God to use you to be a mentor to someone in their life. There's always someone looking. There's always someone wanting. And many times we just throw our hands up and say, we don't see it. And God's saying, it's standing there right in front of you. If you'll just listen and obey me. That's what he told Elijah. And after he told Elijah that, Elijah begins to go looking for those things that God had revealed to him. And it said, so he departed from there and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12th. And then Elijah passed by him and he threw his mantle on him. He did something intentional. He said, "Son, I see something in you." And he leapt the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you." And Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what I have done to you." So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Now there's some things right here you need to see. Pay attention to. First of all, he was working. How many know that sometimes you just got to work till God straightens it out? Now, we can put this in church, and some people, and I can only reflect on my own life. I can remember when I was 26 years old, when I truly accepted the call. Even though the Lord called me, I believe the Lord threw a mantle toward me at the age of 15. I was inexperienced and ill-prepared and didn't have a mentor, and so I just did what I was trained to do by an earthly father, and that was I started to go to work. When I graduated from high school, I went through the process of doing the things that God had that I felt like a man is supposed to do. You know, I've heard guys that the Lord has called me into ministry. The Lord has called me into ministry. And then that's all they think that they're supposed to do is, "I'm called into ministry." Can I tell you, when God calls you, he'll equip you. But while he's equipping you, you still got duties and responsibilities. Amen? And Elisha was doing what he was trained by an earthly father to do. But then Elijah comes by and he throws a mantle. And I believe that was a revelation of a call that was on his life. And he goes, "Wait a minute. This is something unique. This is something special." And he stops what he's doing and he runs to Elijah and he tries to figure, "What did you just do for me?" And Elijah reveals to him that there's something special about you. And Elisha does what most well-respected young men would do. He says, "Give me a moment. I'm going to go tell mom and dad what I'm going to do." But then he does something really important. He destroys everything that was preceding this moment in his life. God had placed the mantle on him, and he decided, "I'm no longer going to be a farmer. I'm going to be a prophet." And so he eliminates everything out of his previous life that would draw him back there, and he goes and follows Elijah. Now, what does that tell us? First of all, he knew who he was. Do you know who you really are in Christ? If I were to sit down with you and I'm saying, "Can you tell me what you are in Christ?" Would you be able to define that to me? See, until you know who you are, you're never going to know how God can use you. Do you know what you are gifted at? Do you know what you have a passion for? Do you know what you have talent for? And are you using those talents for the building of his kingdom? Now, I've got to believe that Elisha, and I know he was a very righteous person prior to the call. I think he was taking the right steps in his life prior to Elijah coming by. God's just not going to come by and call someone that's not shown themselves to be someone that can handle the mantle that would be placed upon them. And so I'm telling you this morning, I don't care whether you're a young person, a middle-aged person, or maybe you're up in years, there's never a time that's too late for God to do something in your life. There's always something that he's wanting to do. But in order for you to find that purpose, you've got to know who you are in Christ, and then you've got to know and realize how the timing is and how the day is the day of salvation, and God's timing is about today. What are you doing for the kingdom today? Finding your purpose. You need to be able to discern truth in your life. There's so much deception out there. Everybody understand that. There's so many things that are pulling at you and tugging at you. And many of them may be even good things. But you've got to be able to discern what is the most important thing and what is the thing God is wanting to do in your life. See, Elisha wasn't doing a bad thing. He was doing a good thing. But when he realized and he discerned that his time had come, he eliminated all other things that would turn his attention away from his focus. So many of us, we want to do everything. Can I tell you, you can't do everything. I want to help this person. I want to do this. And a lot of times, I'm going to be honest with you, we do a lot of stuff because it's more about us than it is about him. You know, if I get in here and do all this stuff, maybe it'll make me feel better about myself. Maybe if I can get that affirmation I need from other people, maybe it'll make me feel like I'm worth it. And you got to find your worth in Christ. You got to find your value in Jesus, not in people. And it's kind of hard because we all want affirmation. We all want to be told you're doing a good job. We want to all be told you're one of the best preachers, or you're one of the best singers, or one of the best teachers, and I you're the best person. We all like to hear that. But what we need to hear from the Father is, well done, my good and faithful servant. And are you being faithful, knowing yourself, realizing your time, discerning the truth? And don't miss the opportunity. Just because Elijah threw the mantle to him did not mean that he had to pick up the mantle. How many people has God chosen and put a particular something in their life to do something, but yet they get distracted or they do something else and they remove themselves from the opportunity? Elisha did not have to follow this path, but there was a passion that resided within him that allowed him to pursue it with diligence and purpose. And that's what we need to do. If we're going to have an open heaven over our lives, we need to know our purpose in His kingdom and pursue it with passion. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, I like this. It's that thing that if you don't do it, you're just never going to be satisfied. I can remember when I was called. I mean, I can truly identify with Elisha, because there was sort of this mantle that was, it wasn't a man's mantle. It just was the mantle of God that seemed to just come my way, that said, I've called you, Thurman. And then I just didn't have anybody to help me figure it out as a young man. And then when I was able to sort of discern it, God had brought me through a lot of different things. To be honest with you, I thought my purpose was to coach a high school football team and to teach U.S. history in high school. That's what I originally thought. I wouldn't say original, but that's what my plan was. And when that didn't work out, I thought I was supposed to be just a really good husband and a good father to work a really solid paying job at State Farm. I had put these plans in place, but they never did bring me the true power and passion that may help me realize who I really was, until I really went through a transitional period where I got meningitis and God sort of set me down and just sort of looked at me in the eyes and says, what is your decision? And then the Lord instantaneously healed me. That was the time when the heavens opened and He healed me. I can give you that exact moment in time. And right after that, right in that moment, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow You. And then at that point, I walked away from everything that I established. Now, I didn't walk away immediately, but there was a process. You know how when you're walking a direction and then you change course and walk a different direction? Everything in my life changed at that moment. And I began to walk toward God. And so I turned away from being a high school football coach. I didn't coach another game after I got in ministry. And I'm not saying that people can't do those things. I'm just telling you what I was called to do and what my purposes were. And so I pursued it, and I challenged myself not to let anything distract me. And it was a process. And as a minister, it was a struggle at times, but there was a working going on with me. Listen to what the scripture says. Go on to the next slide, please. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. You can make all the plans you want to make, but God's still in charge. Now, He'll take a step, you step in the wrong direction, and He'll try to begin to work in your life to turn you toward that place. But God's sovereign. Everybody understands that. God is complete control. And so the world may even make a decision, hey, this is the person we choose. But ultimately, God is the one that's in charge of all the decisions. And so in finding your purpose, you need to know that. And if you're going to find your purpose, then you need to invest in your purpose. All's got to be devoted to Him. See, if you're going to invest in your purpose, you need to devote yourself to that purpose. Are you devoting yourself to the purposes of God in your life? And I don't want to make this just about ministry here. I'm talking about, what has God placed in your heart to do? What has God showed you should do? Now, some people say, well, I don't know. Well, that's the first order of business, is to find out what God has in store or in mind for your life. Some of us, it may be the best mother we could possibly be. Raise that child to know the Lord. Raise that child to experience Christ. Be that mentor. Be that the model that child can follow. Others, it could be to be a Sunday school teacher or be someone in charge of ministry. It could be someone is called to go into the mission field short term, where they go and help and build things. Or it could be helping in an inner city ministry, or helping in a benevolence ministry, or doing something. My question to each one of you today is, what are you doing to build the kingdom of God? Because God will open up heaven to those that will build His kingdom. It's the promise of the Scripture. Seek me first, and all these other things will be added unto you, is what He says in Matthew 6:33. So when you're pursuing, make the investment in His purposes. Elisha, we already understand, he burned everything. He left all of his previous life behind himself, and he devoted himself as a servant of Elijah. How many know you got to have somebody that's mentoring you? Who is your greatest mentor in life? Are you allowing someone to pour into you? That's a question. This isn't a trick question. Who is someone you look up to, or someone that you, if you were facing a difficult spiritual question in your life, who would you go to? Who would you talk to about it? Do you have a person that you can go to? It's something we all need in our lives, someone that can help us on the journey. How many know you can't do it alone? You can't make it alone. You need help. You need encouragement. And so you need to devote yourself to that call. Elisha, wherever Elijah went, he went with him. He served him. Whatever he asked him to do, he did. He didn't question him. He probably asked him to do some crazy things, but it didn't make any difference. He trusted Elijah. He trusted that he was a man of God. He knew that he was a man that followed and chased after God's purposes. He wanted to be that same kind of man, so he was willing to trust and allow God to use him in any way. So he devoted himself. He disciplined himself. Can I tell you, there are distractions all around you. There are people that will be tugging at you. There are people that want to get in your mind. There's spirits that want to get in your mind and distort things and discourage you and get you turned from those things. But there's where spiritual disciplines come into play. That's where kneeling and praying and seeking the face of God. That's where reading His Word regularly, where you can let that Word be something that directs your mind and molds and shapes your mind. Those things, as you discipline yourself, God will begin to conform you to the purposes of His plan and allow you to do the work, but you've got to make the investment. Devoting yourself, disciplining yourself, developing yourself, coming to Sunday school class, or coming and taking notes, or reading books and talking to people, be a part of Bible studies, developing yourself overall. Being involved in a ministry. Are you involved in any way? Are you helping to pour? This is something I'm always telling people to do. If you want to be effective in ministry, you got to pour out something. It can't be just about coming to church on Sunday. It's got to be something's got to pour out of you that God's pouring into you. And that's the developmental process. And finally, don't be distracted. Don't get distracted. It's so easy, even in church, to get distracted. You think it's, I don't see a lot, but I do. When I'm standing in front of people and I'm looking, now it's a smaller crowd. It's harder for you to get away with it than maybe the next crowd. And I can tell when you're not paying attention. You know, some will clip nails. Some will play with babies. Some will do their checkbook. Some will get on Facebook. During service, no, Pastor, I'm reading the Bible. I'm following along in Scripture. And it's being distracted. And one of the reasons we do that is, some people say, well, the speaker's boring. Can I tell you, when the word's being spoken, there's always something to learn. There really is. If you want it bad enough. See, if it's your passion, you got to be like just everything. Just soak up. You ever seen somebody that's like a sponge? You know, these young people that get, you know, I can remember those that really, when I was a coach, I can remember seeing those kids that really wanted to be good and those that wanted to be in the paper, didn't care about being good. They wanted the headlines. They wanted to be the best, but they didn't want to put in the work to be the best. And that's what people are sometimes. So they get distracted. So they've got this idea that I want to be the best, but when it comes time to put in the hard work, they're not willing to do that. So they're not really going to. You know, Elijah had so many times where he discouraged Elisha. Get away from me, boy. I don't want you around right now. I'm not going to leave you. Now, I'm going on down further. I'm not going to leave you. No, sir. I'm right by your side. Other prophet says, give him a break. He told you to leave him alone. No, I'm going to be right there with him. I know what God's called me to do. I know my purpose and my plan. And I know what God's going to do. And I'm just going to keep following the Lord. I'm not going to let people distract me. I'm not going to let the world tell me anything that I know that's not of God. I'm going to keep trusting in the Lord. Martin Luther King made a statement while he was alive when he talked about investing in your purpose. And it's important for us all to know and understand. And he put it this way. when he said, if a man hasn't discovered something that he's willing to die for, he isn't fit to live. And that's true. What are you living for today? When you take stock of it, if you're living for things, is that worth dying for? Or if you're living for fame, is that worth dying for? You know, the few things that to me that are worth living for and dying for is a good reputation. How many know you're only as good as your name? Leaving a legacy for my children and in the future my grandchildren to follow that would lead them into a better place and not a worse place. What are you living for today? What are you letting God do in your life? Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in those evil days. Time is short. Now, when we say time is short, yeah, we believe Jesus could come. But I got news for you. Your days on this earth are short if he don't come. The scripture says a man is blessed if he lives 70, 80, 90 years. And we know science is allowing us to live longer. But I'm reminded of an old country song that I think it was Brad Paisley or one of those guys sang, or maybe Kenny Chesney. He talked about having a conversation with a 100-year-old man. And the man told him one thing is don't blink. Don't blink, because before you know it, time is there and it's gone. I can remember, it seems like yesterday, I had small babies in my house and I blinked and became toddlers. I blinked again and they're teenagers. Now I've blinked four times and they're grown and they're out on their own. People that used to be the pillars of my family are fading away. And can I tell you, if we don't take the time to invest today, we won't have a future. And we've got to take the time. We want heaven to open and reveal himself to us. We must know and have passion for our purpose. And that means finding your purpose and investing in your purpose. And then finally, it means walking in your purpose. We find this story comes to when Elijah is taken up. Now we know prior to him taking up, he comes to the River Jordan. He pulls off his mantle. I don't want to do that right now, but he pulls off his coat. And he strikes the water. And what happens? The waters part. And he walks across on dry ground. I believe Elisha followed him across. And then as soon as he does that, there's a noise from heaven that begins to shatter the silence of the day. And a chariot of fire comes and swoops up Elijah. And the only thing that's left is a coat just floating to the ground. Now, if Elijah hadn't been following him, he might have been scared to pick up the mantle. If Elijah hadn't been mentored by him, he might have taken the mantle and buried it as a remembrance to Elijah. But because he knew Elijah, he knew his call, he knew his purpose, and the passion that he had for that purpose, he picked it up, and lo and behold, it was a size 42, just like him. It fit. And in order to show and to prove to those, I don't think he needed any proving, but there were other prophets that were watching. He takes that mantle. He again strikes the water. And what happens? The waters part and he walks through on dry ground. Can I tell you, walking in your purpose is an everyday life kind of thing. It's not anything special. It's not something that is earth-shattering. It's just getting up every day and being focused and saying, I'm going to do the best I can today for the Lord as much as I can. Now, how many know that one day is different than the next? And your best one day may not measure up to the best of another day. But as long as it's your best, that's all God requires from you. And so every day, it's living in that legacy and living in that purpose. It's just an everyday kind of life. And what we do wrong in our society is you cannot compartmentalize your calling or your purpose. A lot of people treat their calling and purpose like a coat they can take on and off. Can I tell you, when you put the mantle is on. And you, when you take it off, you are being disobedient to the will of God. That means when you come to church on Sunday, yeah, it's good to be there. You ought to be there every Sunday as much as it is to you. When there's other things like work, and I'm not saying not vacations, that's fine. But you ought to be in the building every Sunday that you possibly can be. But that's just not what God's called you to do. When you walk out of that building on Sunday, there's a Monday that's followed by a Tuesday, that's followed by a Wednesday, that's followed by a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday. And every day you need to put on that coat and you need to walk out into the world and let God work in your life. Don't compartmentalize. That's what people do in our society. They come to church and worship Him on Sunday. Then they go out on Friday nights and they do things they know that do not reveal His purposes and are nothing but fleshly acts. Can I tell you, God is in the barn as well as He's in the church. And if you're living wrong in the outsides of these walls, God sees it and it grieves His heart, and it's causing your calling to go unnoticed under heaven. Every day there's an opportunity or an obstacle. Every day there's a challenge where you can meet the challenge or you can let the challenge overwhelm you. But what God has called us to be is witnesses in the midst of darkness, and to be the light on a hill for all men to see. And can I tell you, when you light it up and you let God reveal Himself to you and you walk in that purpose, He begins to shine down on you like He did Elisha. And Elisha left that place on the Jordan and he did twice as much as the prophet Elijah. Why? Because he walked out his purpose. He walked out God's plan. Everybody needs to remember, your legacy is not built in a day. It's built in a lifetime of making the right decision. God will honor that. Jeremiah 17 and 10 says, I, the Lord, this is Jesus, this is the Father talking, I should say. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to every man according to what his ways are. And according to the fruit of his doings. Walk out your purpose. Would you stand with me this morning? There was a story told about a gentleman who came to an evangelist and told him, "Sir, I perceive you to be a man of great faith. And a man close to the heart of God. I'm concerned about my family right now. I'm concerned about my community. I'm concerned about my nation. Tell me, what can I do to bring revival?" The evangelist, being a wise man, asked him, "Do you have a place where you can pray?" To which the man answered, "Yes, sir, I do." And he said, "I'll tell you what to do. Go to that place. Take a piece of chalk along. Kneel down at that place. And draw a circle around yourself in that place. And begin to kneel down and pray for God to send revival on everything inside that circle. And stay there until He answers. Then you'll have revival. Revive us, O God. Revive us. Let your passion burn within us." There's one scripture that I was drawn to in closing here, and we're going to pray. Do a Bible study sometime on Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a great prophet, but Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. You know why? Jeremiah didn't get the privilege of telling a lot of good news. Jeremiah got put in prison for telling the truth. Throwed him in prison. He got so discouraged that he said, "That's enough, God. I'm not going to do it anymore. I refuse." But then he realized that his purpose was so much burning within him, he didn't have a choice. Listen to what he says in Jeremiah 20 and 9. He said, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." When God gets a hold of you, like he wants to get a hold of you, it's going to be like fire shut up in your bones. My fear is we've let other things take his place. And that's why people tell me, you ever hear anybody say, why doesn't God move like he used to? You ever hear somebody say that? And you know what God says? Why don't my people hunger for me like they used to? We've got so many things in life that distract us. So many things that pull us out of his place and out of his purpose. So this morning, I just want us to pray in closing. Lord, help me to pursue your passion for me so that I might have passion for you and to pursue your purposes. Would you pray that with me as we close in prayer? Father God, I perceive that all of us truly desire to please you and that we all want to be used by you. But Lord, we live in a world that's so busy and so consumed with so many things that we sometimes even buy into the world's way of doing things. And we fail to seek you for ourselves. God, forgive us for our lazy faith at times. Well, we'd rather feel good than to pray through the pain. And God, forgive us for not truly making you the priority of our lives. Help us to be like Elisha, Lord, that was diligent in all ways. Even when he was discouraged by people that he was following, God, he did not give up on his purpose. And God, you honored him by blessing him with a double portion. Father, we pray right now that you would bless us with a double portion. Help us, oh Lord, to make it a priority of our lives. Help us, Lord, to make you the most important person in our lives. And we'll give thanks for all that you do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say amen. Praise the Lord. Shake hands. Be dismissed. There is no service or anything tonight. Don't forget Wednesday night. Wednesday night, I'll be sharing about my Israel trip. Pictures and videos, things. Come, you'll enjoy that.